This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
This morning, I'd like for you to take the Bible, go to the book of Matthew, please. I want you to go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 18 this morning. And I've had two messages on my heart. I think I'll wait until the next Sunday to start one. This morning, I want to preach to you out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 18. I want to preach to you this thought. How do you deal with people when they get on your nerves? How to deal with people when they get on your nerves. You all think I'm joking, but I'm getting ready to light in to how to deal with people when they get on your nerves. Matthew 18, verse number 15 this morning. The Bible says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am I in the midst of them." If you have a Scofield Bible, and if you don't, make this note above chapter 18, verse number 15. This has been referred to as the passage of Scripture from which we get church discipline. We don't practice that much in today's church, and perhaps that's why the church is in the mess that it's in. But I want to refer to it this morning as what to do when people get on your nerves. I could also refer to it, how do you act when people are stupid? Because I'm going to tell you something, beloved, you're not going to live long in this world when people don't act crazy. And I want to show you something in verse number 15 where it says, "Moreover, if thy," say that with me, "brother." Moreover, if thy what? Brother. Jesus is speaking of that church that he's going to birth in the book of Acts chapter number 2. And what Jesus is doing here to these disciples that will lead the church is he says this. He says, when this thing is birthed, you are going to act a certain way in the church that they don't act in the world. You are to operate in the church in a way that is completely opposite from the way that they operate in the world. He says, let me give you an illustration. He says, when your brother trespasses against you. Number one, when the church operates, it must operate completely different than the world operates. I love it when people say this, well, I think the best idea or the way we did it at my work was, God's ways are not man's ways. Man's ways are never going to line up with God's ways. That's why churches are not to operate off a popular vote. God doesn't give a flip who agrees with him. It's God's way or the highway. Just is what it is. So when he says, if thy brother, he's saying, number one, you better act different. You act according to my ways. Number two, he says, if your brother trespass, just because somebody in the church does something wrong doesn't mean they're still not a brother or a sister. We've got to stop kicking people to the curb just because they didn't do something right. Because the last time I checked, your name wasn't Dr. Perfect. Boy, I feel the resistance this morning, but I'm feeling good in my neighborhood. You are not a perfect man or woman. To the perfect ones that are in the house, stand up, because I have a bottle of oil that you can throw at the rest of us. Yeah. Just because somebody acts crazy, and just because somebody gets on your nerves, and just because somebody doesn't do wrong or doesn't do right, it doesn't mean you kick them out. God says, I have a way that you are to operate in my body that is not. I got a hurt pinky toe right now. I don't like to complain, but it is bothering me. Honestly, I took my shoe off a while ago. There was something in my shoe. How many of you fellas have got a pocket knife with you? Can I borrow a big one? I want to lop it off. How many of you say, you crazy? Why? You know why? You say, Tyler, don't cut your toe off just because it's bothering you. Don't cut your toe off just because it's a little irritating. You fix it. But yet in our spiritual body, in you and me, and sometimes there's an irritating factor, and it begins to wear and wear and wear. And God says, I have a way that we need to deal with that irritation that's called division in the house of God and among the people of God. And if you don't do it my way, you're as foolish as lopping off your toe when it gets a little red. God says, I have a way. I've got 3 points. Number one, here's my first point. Number one, expect problems. I love this line. Preacher, I didn't think it'd be like this when I got saved. Well, then you had you a lollipop and fairy tale dream of what you thought the body of Christ was going to be like. People think that just because they get saved and get in the house of God, they're not going to have any problems. And people that get saved, they think, my marriage is going to be perfect. And just because we're getting in church, everything's going to be lovely. Wrong. In fact, it may get worse before it gets better, because when you weren't saved and weren't in the house of God, you didn't have the devil breathing down your throat. You didn't have the devil breathing down your marriage. Didn't have the devil trying to lop your kids out of your home. But now that you've got in the house of God, on the side of God, on the team of God, now you're fighting a real devil. So you know what you ought to do? Number one, you need to expect problems. Preacher, I didn't think when I got this ministry, I didn't think when I signed up for this, I didn't think, oh, so-and-so would get mad at me. What'd you think was going to happen? You just changed everything they've ever done. You just rearranged what they'd always done. You just had this. You just did that. What'd you think was going to happen? You need to learn, brothers and sisters, that in this life you're going to have problems. And they always told me in my homiletics preaching class to make sure that I tell the people so that they can follow my outline. So that was number one. Let me give to you subpoint A, B, and C. Number one, why should I expect problems? Here's subpoint A, because they're not perfect. Oh, yes, beloved, I know you think that woman you married's pretty. I know that man that you said I do too is just as lovely. But I'm going to tell you something. They're going to wake up with stanky breath. You know why? Because on the inside of them is dying. That old heart they have is dying. And they're not perfect. Can I get this side of the church to do me a favor? Draw me a line. Marie, Steve, Chris, all the way back to Mr. Calfee. Y'all look that way. Look, this is one half, and y'all look at them. Look! And everybody else, look this way. Look! Don't turn away, don't turn away, don't turn away. I'm going to talk, now look. The people you're looking at, they're not perfect. All right, look back at me. You know what that means? They're going to do wrong stuff. They're not going to always do right. They're not always going to say things right. You need to learn to expect problems. Stop living in candy land and get in the real world. You say, I want it perfect. Then you just need to go to heaven. Come on, folks. There's going to be issues. Me and my wife, I know she's good looking, but she's not perfect. And I know I'm a handsome stud, but I'm not perfect. And he's so humble, too. Nobody's perfect. Subpoint A, they're not perfect. Subpoint B, you ready? You're not perfect. Let me get my Pentecostal shoes and just preach it like a Pentecostal preacher. You sin, you think wrong, you say wrong, you do wrong, you look wrong, you act wrong, you go wrong, you be wrong. Everything you do ain't right. You don't always do it right. You don't always act right. You don't always speak it right. You don't always respond right. You don't always go right. You don't always do what you ought to do. You're not always what you ought to be. You don't always act like you ought to act. So here is my question to all the people that have ever done wrong in their life. How many of you want some grace every now and then? Stop. Keep it up, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. You know what you've got to do to get grace? You got to give it. There are no perfect people, and I'm not perfect either. Subpoint C. They're not perfect, I'm not perfect, and the world is not perfect. You know what that means? That means that when decisions are made, they're like doors. The hinges may be small, but they always create friction. Big doors swing on small hinges, and little doors swing on little hinges. But do you know what hinges will always create? Heat, because of friction. I wish every marriage would do right, but they're not going to. Therefore, there's going to be problems. I wish every child would do right, but they're not, and there's going to be problems. I wish the government would do right, but they're not, and there's going to be problems. I wish church people would do right, but they're not, there's going to be problems. I wish every preacher would do right, but they're not, there's going to be problems. We're going to say things wrong, and you're going to say things wrong. Do you know why? Because we live in an imperfect world. May I ask you a question? The bank's going to foreclose on your house. Your kids are leaving. They're not walking. They're not going to the church anymore. They don't want to go to the house of God anymore. You lost your job. You've lost your health. You've lost everything. All right, you ready? Got all that? How do you react? We expect there to be these clear-cut answers all the time that don't create any issues. Listen to me. We live in an imperfect world. So you need to learn to expect problems. Number two. So that was number one, ABC. Let me give to you number two. Not only should you expect problems, but if you're going to deal with problems, number two, follow the procedure. Jesus knew that we have an imperfect world where imperfect people make imperfect decisions and it creates imperfect situations. And here's my problem. I've yet to find a perfect situation. I've yet to find a perfect marriage. I've yet to find perfect children. I've yet to find perfect moms and dads. I've yet to find a perfect church. I've yet to find a perfect restaurant. I've yet to find a perfect government. I've yet to find a perfect doctor. I've yet to find a perfect dog. There are no any good cats. I've yet to find any perfect anything. So therefore, Jesus knew that, but he said, in this church, don't you dare respond to problems like the heathen respond to problems. He says, I'm going to give you a cut and dry procedure to handle imperfect problems. I'm going to give this to you and be very pastoral in how I present this, okay? Number one, verse 15. Here is the A under point two. Number one, if you have a problem with a brother or a sister, number one, go to them alone. Look at what it says, verse 15. And moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault. Say this next phrase, between thee and him. Everybody say this next word, alone. If I have a problem with Jamie, guess who I need to talk to about it? Jamie. Beloved, let me just help you pastorally. If I go to Erica before I go to Jamie, if I go to Scott before I go to Jamie, I am not right with God. You cannot be right with God and be wrong with your brother. I came in preaching, I'm going to go out preaching. But there are too many situations and people, and I believe we have good intentions. And we go to other people and say, can I give you a hypothetical? If somebody error comes to you and gives you a hypothetical, they ain't giving you a hypothetical. They are telling you what's going on in their world. I'll preach to y'all. Can I give you a hypothetical? Let's just say that my wife, I mean a wife, if she did this. Now, I'm not saying mine did it. No, not me. Hypothetically speaking. You know what? Will you help me pray about a situation? Don't say anything to anybody. But my wife, XYZ, help me pray between me and you and God. Can I tell you something? God ain't heard not near one of them prayers. You know why? Because that's the way the world operates. Jacob? Marcus? The Bible says, moreover, if thy brother offend thee. This could be a child that's saved. This could be a mama. This could be a person in the church. This could be a spouse. But if thy brother offend thee. Brother, thee. How many people in that problem? So how many people need to be involved in fixing that problem, first of all? Come here.
Oh, boy.
We've got a, hush. We've got a situation. Tell them we've got a situation.
We've got a situation.
Will you help me pray about this situation?
Will you help me pray about it?
Marcus did X.
Marcus did X.
You know what he just did? He just took a problem and made it a bigger problem. Why did Jesus say, Jacob, if you have a problem with Marcus as a brother, go to him. And tell him, Marcus, I have a little bit of an issue. I've got a problem. You said something, you did something. I said something, I did something. I didn't like, whatever it is. Here's what Jesus says. Stay right there, Jake. In verse 15, he says, if you go and tell him his fault between you and him, what have you done? If he hear you, what have you done? You have gained a brother. All right, Jake, have a seat. Okay. If a problem is a fire, a flame, do you know what happens when you follow the procedure? You extinguish the fire. That's the goal. Extinguish the fire. Say it with me. Extinguish the fire. But if Jacob goes and talks to somebody else before he talks to him, what has he done? He's thrown fuel on the fire. And we can't figure out why everything around us is burning to the ground. You know why? Because we're acting like the world in the house of God. If you have a problem, do not come to me and say, I need to talk to you about something. If you've ever come to me and tried to talk, you know the first thing I ask you is, have you talked to them? I love this. Preacher, you mad at me? If y'all talk to me and ask me that question, the first thing I say is, did I tell you I was mad at you? Well, no. I said, I promise you, if I got a problem with you, I'm going to tell you. Do you know why? Because I am a man. I'm an adult. I'm not a baby. I don't need my mommy, and I don't suck my thumb. And Jesus told me, if my brother offends me, and that goes for every one of us. Here's a question. Some of you have done this. So what do you do now? Sub point B. Look in verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, what do you do? Then take with thee one or two more. If they do not respond, Jesus says this, if they won't listen to you, then go get two people and take them with you. Time. Why did Jesus say this? I'm going to tell you why. Because I have never met one person in the wrong that was bold enough to do anything right. If somebody lied on you, I promise you, they're not going to go tell two people and say, will you go help me make this right? You ever met a liar that wanted to do things the right way? No. Because here's what we want. We don't want things to be made right. We want to be right. Oh, yes, sir. We don't want the situation with our wife or husband worked out. We want them to see it our way. Oh, we don't want the person in the situation in the church house to be made right. Do you know what we want? We want to be right. Do you know why? Because we're all filled with that nasty curse called pride. We're so deeply entrenched in pride. And you know what we're willing to do? We're willing to burn the whole thing down just to prove we're right. Can I ask you a question? Are you ready to stand at the judgment seat knowing you burnt the house of God down spiritually because of your pride? I wonder how many people are going to stand at the judgment seat from churches and Bob, they burnt the whole thing down spiritually and ripped it to pieces because of their stinking pride. So here's what he says. He says, here's what I want you to do. Number one, I want you to go get one or two others and take them to them. Now watch this. This is where we get messed up. Who do you take with you? Number one, you don't go get somebody that's on your team. Oh, don't you love this when couples get together and go out to eat, Cindy? And all the men, they get two or three witnesses against the wife. Guess who the other witnesses are? The other disgruntled husbands. Oh, yeah, ladies, I know exactly what that's like. Don't you? I'm married and so are you. So let's just go ahead and sit straight with each other right here. What do we do when we have a problem with our wife and we're thinking about divorce? You go find four or five other disgruntled wives who've been divorced 15 other times and say, what do you think I ought to do? I wonder what advice they're going to give you. Yeah. You go find you somebody that looks at it from the same angle I look at it from, and we get them to go with the problem. You know what Jesus wanted us to do? When you go get two people or one person or two people to be a witness, here's what your mission ought to be. God, give me the most spiritual person I can find And how do you know who's spiritual in this situation? It's simple. Because if Jacob goes to Carrier Tony and says, will you come with me to handle this problem? If they're spiritual, they know that Bible, first thing they're going to say is, have you already been to them by yourself? If they don't ask that, they're not the person you need to take with you. You realize what happens if these three men now go to the problem? Guess what they're going to try to do? Extinguish the fire. Because here, if Jacob can't solve it with Marcus, guess what's going to happen? It's a big problem. So now we need more people to help handle the problem. This is what happens in a church when marriages aren't right, children aren't right, people aren't right, living like the devil, acting like the world. And we go to them, and I say to them, you need to do this thing right. You need to do this. Somebody goes and says, you need to do this right. That pride bows up inside of us and say, no. Then we go with two other people, and we say, no. You need to do this right. This is what the Bible says. You need to do it God's way. And if the fire is put out, then you're okay. But watch what Jesus says in verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. If the fire's already gotten big enough where this guy's filled with so much pride he won't hear this guy, this stage is not to solve the problem, because the problem's probably not going to be solved. He's going to think they're ganging up on him. So Jesus says, get ready. Here's the third point. You go to them by themselves. Number two, you take two witnesses, or one witness or two witnesses with you. Number three, if this doesn't work, you know what you do? Jesus said in verse 17, he says, if he neglect to hear him, tell it unto the, what? Church. I love, people say this all, well, preacher, don't we need to give him grace? Yeah, the grace was when he was man enough to go to him the first time. And the grace was when he went with him with two other people the second time. The third time, Jesus says, no. There's nobody burning up my bride. Jesus says, no. My body means too much to me. If that toe's gotten irritated and it would not respond to the little surgery the doctor did the first time, and then he went in with a team of specialists and did the second time, and gangrene is laid in on that toe the third time, Jesus says, you know what you need to do? Cut it off. You know why? Because Jesus is willing to sacrifice the gangrene toe to keep the foot. Jesus is willing to kick one to the curb to save the body. I'm going to tell you something. Sin cannot be allowed to fester in the body. And you know the problem? You know what I'm finding? I'm not a doctor. I get squeamish at anything doctor-y. But you know what I found? A little ingrown toenail, if left alone, can do just as much damage as a little melanoma. You may not die the same way, but the last time I checked, gangrene dead and cancer dead are both dead. You say, they said something about me. Have you been to them? You say, they made me mad. Have you been to them? I don't agree with, have you been to them? Nope. You haven't. And what you've done is you've allowed the person that's irritating you to become an irritant in you. And now you can't pray right. Now you can't read right. You can't live right. You can't do right. And it's just festering. And you're dying. And you're killing the whole body. Now here's the question. All right? Yep, let's go back. Number three. So number one, we expect problems. Number two, we follow the procedure. But number three, notice the priority. Jesus goes from how to deal with these problems. He goes into, why do you want to deal with these problems? Can I ask you a question? Wouldn't it be better just to say, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, and we'll just be separate and do our own things? Isn't that easier? You go in your way and I'll go in my way. Just leave it alone, leave me alone, don't go near me. Seems like a good idea to me. But Jesus says, I want you to note the priority of how important it is to do this in the body the right way. And he goes into verse number 18. This is what he says. He says, verily I say unto you that whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That it, verse 19, that if any two of you agree on earth as touching any one thing, it shall be done of my Father in heaven. Are you ready? Why is it so important for Jacob and Marcus and husband and wife and church member and pastor and people and deacon and other church member to be on the same page? Here's why. Because the forces of hell are going to come against Marcus. The forces of hell are going to fight against Marcus. And he needs to know that I need bound in heaven what I need bound on earth. He's got loved ones that need to be saved. He's got ministries that need to be fulfilled. He's got prayers that need to be answered. He's got people that need to be saved. And he knows that the forces of hell may be too much for him, and he cannot fix it. He cannot change it. But here is what Jesus said in verse number 19 and 20. He says, but if something is too big, if there be any two of you that agree on earth, here's what may happen. They've made things right. They've gotten together. They've come together and they have fixed everything, and they've shaken hands and everything is right. Now Marcus has gained a brother and the fire has been put out, and now Marcus can say to Jacob, Jacob, I've got this issue. I've got this prayer. And here's what they can do. They can link arms together, and now brother in brother can charge hell wide open, and they can see bound on earth what they can see bound in heaven. Do you know why they can do that? Because that little piddly piece of mess that didn't matter and was an opinion anyways, it's all been washed away. It's all been done away with. And instead of looking at each other, now because this has been fixed, they can both look up to heaven and pray together and say, my God in heaven, I'm asking you to help Marcus. And Marcus says, God, I'm asking you to help me. I'm asking you to answer my prayer. And old Jacob's done linked up arms with him and said, my God in heaven, will you help Marcus? Will you answer his prayer? Will you bind that demon on earth? And when Jacob has a problem because he's done made a brother back, guess what he's going to do? They're going to look back at each other and say, will you help me? Then they're going to turn their eyes heavenward and say, God, will you help my brother? This is what you've got to know. God doesn't have time for our piddly mess. He's not interested in our piddly mess. But the devil comes to us as an angel of light and gets everything all twisted inside the house of God, and we're praying by ourselves and we're trying to do everything by ourselves. Doug, will you stand up? And Colby, will you stand up? And Brother Claude, will you stand up? And Earl, will you stand up? And Papa, will you stand up right there? And Joshua, will you stand up right there? Yes, sir. Will you stand up right there? Mr. Calfee, will you stand up right there? This doesn't look very promising to have just a few guys scattered throughout the house of God praying. But when he is in connection with her and they're locked arms together and they stand up together, and then when he has locked arms with him and they're in connection together, and then when he is in locked arms with her and he is in locked arms with her and Papa is in locked arms with her and Mr. Calfee is in locked arms with her and Joshua is in locked arms, now these have become double. And when she's locked arms with her, and when he is locked arms with her, and when they are locked arms together, they get up, Sean. Get up, Sean. Get up. And they are locked arms. And they are locked arms. And they are locked arms. And they get 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 locked arms. The devil and the forces of hell can't fight this power. We've bound on earth what's bound in heaven. You people standing, look around. These people in the middle, the ones that need help. Y'all be seated. 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 Y'all go back to your seats, boys. Why are you allowing that little thing in your marriage, in your home, in your church, to keep you from moving hell? Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth, be bound in heaven. I don't try to make things happen. I don't believe in that. But there are people in this room right now that are not right with their brothers or sisters. Husbands that are not right with their wives. Children that are not right with their parents. You say, but I know how they'll respond. Jesus didn't tell you to try to weigh the consequences. He said, you do what's right and leave the consequences to me. We are far too political. We get mad at the Republicans and Democrats in Washington, but we're the worst politicians that ever lived. We weigh everything out. Will this happen? Will that happen? Will I get mad at them? Will I get mad at... What will they think about this? What will they think about that? And Jesus said, I didn't tell you to weigh anything out. I told you to do it. That's how you handle problems with people that get on your nerves. That's how you handle problems with situations that aren't right. And here is the last line. If you're not bold enough and right enough with God to go talk to the person you have the issue with, then you don't need to talk about it with anybody else. Because if it doesn't matter enough for you to get involved with that person, it's none of your business anyways. And that's how you deal with problems among the body of Christ.